Let us turn to other iterative methods. Always for a campus. It's almost mandatory for this kind of method to transform the metrics starting metrics A into a similar, it is with the same eigenvalues, matrix, say B, having a more compact form. The idea is that if the matrix B has a more compact form than A, any iterative method I will use, I will spare some computational amount of tasks in terms of flops, of floating point operation. This is clear. It is important that the similarity transformation is a unitary similarity, unitary transformation for stability reasons. The more compact form, one of the most general compact forms that can be considered, as I told you last time, the Hessenberg form. This means that the matrix B has possibly non-zero entries in this area and zero entries in this area, that is the positions under the diagonal adjacent to the main diagonal. In formulas, this means V sub I j equal to zero for if I is larger than j plus 1. Exactly this triangle. First question. Is it simple to find unitary transformations which bring A into an Hessenberg form B? The answer is yes, it's positive, because starting from a generic matrix A, I can consider the householder again, householder transformation, which as you see are very important in our problems, P householder. Matrix, which is modeled over the first, as usual, as the first column of A. First householder, there will be other n minus 2 householder transformation. The first household metrics which has to be considered transform the first column of A not to a multiple of the first column of the identity matrix as in the QR transformation, but to a multiple of a column of this kind. In other words, more precisely, if I partition in a suitable fashion the matrix, the first matrix P, P sub 1, another household matrix P tilde sub 1, also an household matrix. Which household matrix? The first column of A, but this part of the first column. So here I start with A sub 2, 1, A sub 3, 1. This sub vector, it is long n minus 1, and as usual, the absorbed matrix brings it into a multiple of the first column of the identity matrix of size n minus 1. Why this? Because this is the full matrix. The matrix P sub 1 puts zero entries in all these positions, but it's important to perform also the transformation of the resulting matrix obtained multiplying also by P sub 1 on the right. Why? Because our transformation must be similarity transformation. So I'm obliged to multiply first A by P sub 1 on the left, but also the H must be omitted, as you know, by P sub 1, the same matrix on the right, in order to have the same eigenvalues, the transformation has to leave the eigenvalues unchanged. So if I have this matrix with zeros in these positions, and I multiply by the same matrix on the right, the first column is left unchanged because the first column of this matrix has this form. So this zero will be left unchanged. This part of the matrix will be we change, and I will have a matrix with the Essenberg form on the first column. For the leading columns, the columns left, I will perform succinctly and 2, not 10 minus 1, n minus 2. I have put already n minus 2 zeros in these positions. Remember to perform the same transformations as I had just said on the left. Also on the right, sorry. The resulting matrix on the second columns, on the second column, I will put zeros under this diagonal wall. So the final matrix, the final resulting matrix, we have a similar form. This is a stable procedure. The cost is cubic. All these has a cubic cost. Every step has a quadratic cost, so the entire procedure has a cubic cost. A particular case, which will be considered today and the next lesson, is the case when A is Hermitian, symmetric in the real case. Let us call the product this order P sub 1, P sub 2, and so on, Q. So we have here QH. QH at Q. H or B. Named it B before. So let us continue to plot it B. B is Eisenberg, but it is also Hermitian. If A is Hermitian, a unitary transformation of A Hermitian matrix is Hermitian too. What if an Eisenberg matrix is also Hermitian? B is, in fact, three diagonal. If B is Hermitian, I will find zero entries also in the upper triangle. So B is Hermitian and three diagonal. Since symmetric or over the complex numbers Hermitian problems are frequent, this is one important case which deserves to be studied in detail. This is the thing we will do. Methods for the methods we will study for Hermitian three-diagonal matrices are two specific. Special methods for Hermitian three-diagonal matrices. I anticipated this method, the names of these methods last lesson. Sturm sequences technique and divide and conquer. I think we will call these approaches in this way. Today I will give you only a description of a classical way to compute the characteristic polynomial of a Hermitian tridiagonal matrix. Maybe that you have already seen this this procedure, the computation of the characteristic polynomial of a Hermitian tridiagonal matrix. Let us call the matrix the entries of the matrix in some way. The matrix is B. We use only one index. The entries which lies along the main diagonal will be called with the letter A or alpha. I don't remember, let us use the right alpha. All this is reported in section 6 of the chapter. Alpha sub 1, alpha sub n. Along the other two diagonals, we have beta. The starting index of beta here, it has been chosen as 2. We start from beta sub 2. So we end with beta sub n. The matrix is Hermitian, so we have the conjugates of the betas. The other entries are all zeros, so okay. Well, this computation can be made with elementary notions by using the Laplace expansion for the determinant of a matrix. So here, the matrix is the diagonal, so the Laplace expansion is given by a few terms. What do we want? The characteristic polynomial. As usual, P of lambda. Let us write as subscript the order of the matrix P sub n. By definition, the determinant of B minus lambda by I. So let us add minus lambda over the main diagonal. By applying the Laplace expansion with respect, we can choose the last row. We can easily write that this determinant is alpha sub n minus lambda multiplied by the determinant of this submatrix. The determinant of That's some metrics. Some metrics. It is useful to put an M as a subscript for B. That some metrics is B sub M minus 1. Matrix B. M minus 1 is again your mission, the diagonal. So I will call its determinant, the term is matrix. It is its characteristic polynomial P sub M minus 1 of 1. In the last row there is only another non-zero entry, which is beta beta sub n. Well, which is the determinant which must be multiplied by this beta? It is the determinant that, be careful in writing this submatrix, the submatrix obtained after cancelling the last row and the n minus 1 column. So, here this submatrix can be described as the submatrix B sub n minus 2 minus and so on. The last row contains only, here is beta here is this position, there is beta. Sub n minus 1. It writes this column says we can select. In the last column, there is. So in this position, there is only beta sub n. Can you do this number? Zero elsewhere. If this is right, this determinant is, let us write the last step of this expansion. Right again, alpha sub n minus lambda pn minus 1 lambda minus beta. Well, the determinant of this matrix, it is block diagonal matrix. So its determinant is given by the product of the determinants of the diagonal blocks. The diagonal blocks are, this is one by one block, here. Here I have beta sub n conjugate by the determinant of this block. This determinant is the characteristic polynomial P sub n minus 2 of lambda. In a more compact way, it is the famous three-term recurrence formula current formula for 4 p.m. The previous minus the product delta by the conjugate of beta is the square of the modulus for the index I starting from phi up to n, we could write also that a generic characteristic polynomial or submatrices of this kind can be expressed, I omit the argument lambda, pi alpha I minus lambda pi minus 1 So the values of all these characteristic polynomials can be computed with a linear complexity using this simple formula. Well, that is a curious and important at the same time result regarding these polynomials. In the sense, I will explain this better the next time. Next time, I think, will be the week before Easter. We will have 2 weeks. About 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks, of optimization. Then there is also a week of suspension of the lesson due to the intermediate tests. So I think I will see you next time near Easter. These polynomials I can extend the definition starting from the index 0 can define by the same formula also I have said I omit lambda the first two polynomials are defined as the first constant equal to 1, the second alpha sub 1 minus lambda, and the other from 2 up to n by this formula. These polynomials the following properties. The first is constant. This is clear. I have defined it this way, so it is constant. The properties are three. The second property is that if one of these polynomials annihilates it for some value lambda, then The previous and the successive I minus 1, I plus 1 in the same value of lambda have opposite signs. Positive, negative, negative, positive. No of them can be zero. For which values of I? For I which has the values from 1 up to n minus 1. The third property, in the third property, Pn is involved. If Pn in lambda is 0, this means lambda eigenvalue, since Pn is the characteristic polynomial of the full matrix, then was left, then the derivative, the first derivative of Pn, Pn is a polynomial, so it has test derivative by the previous computed in the same value of lambda, in this case lambda is an eigenvalue, then the values are opposite. These properties, we will check these properties next time, are simple to verify. I want to underline. In the sense that these polynomials have these properties, they are colored to form, they are said to form a Sturm sequence. So, when we have verified these properties, we will say that this polynomial form a Sturm sequence. That is, a Sturm sequence of functions, not necessarily polynomials, is a sequence of functions satisfying these properties. Any set of ordered functions satisfying these three properties is called to form a Sturm sequence. Why Sturm sequences are important? Because they are a famous ancient, it has been found in 19th century, I think. It is possible to separate under separate, you must read approximate. The zeros of the last polynomial, that is the eigenvalues, in a, for now, I say simply, a simple way, in a very simple way. This is the strength, the power of this construction. Characteristic polynomial, the properties of being a Sturm sequence. If I have a Sturm sequence, I can, with a game of signs, as we will see, I can easily separate the zero of the last polynomial, this, and the zeros of last polynomials. Polynomial is are the eigenvalues which I am interested in. Okay. ci fermiamo qui, come dicevo prima, lasciamo una pausa di qualche settimana, riprenderemo esattamente da questo punto con le successioni di studi applicati a queste politiche.